June 25th, 2009, the Social Geeks episode 17. The Facebook walls are down and the gloves are on. It's myself, Caleb Elston, and Jeff Smith, or Jeff is a Geek, sitting live talking about all the Facebook news.
Hey, everybody. It is Thursday, June 25th. It's the Social Geeks episode 17. The all guys table tonight. Everybody's back, including the lost and missing Caleb, man. How you been?
I'm doing well. Sorry I missed it last time. Schedule just didn't work out, but I'm back and well-read and ready to go. So let's jump in.
Didn't work out tonight for the rest of the crew anyway, so it doesn't make it.
I know. It's too bad, but we'll still have a good show.
We'll have a good show. Jeff, how are you doing?
I'm doing well. How are you guys doing?
We are actually really good, but, you know, we'll... The obligatory, everybody knows the big news today before the actual social network news, the passing of many of our favorite stars in the world. Just hours before we started recording, all the news is coming out about it. So put a moment of podcast silence in for that. And then off we go.
We're back.
So stuff. Everybody there, I know everybody keeping up with the news. By the time this is out, CNN will have about 800 hours of coverage already done. Can see that coming already.
Yeah,
so we have one hot topic, and it probably will consume a majority of what we're going to do. Not a lot of people are going in depth yet, but I'm gonna let Caleb. You're gonna lead the way because the article. So this will be in the show notes. It's on Wired.com. Great article. A lot of it dealing with Facebook. So we'll summarize first. Give them the lowdown first.
Sure. So. Wired basically has a very lengthy piece about sort of this battle that's going on between Facebook and Google, and positioning it that Google, while they have massive technology and have done an amazing job at paid search, they fundamentally may have a flaw in the system that searching based on algorithms and just pure technology and dumb logic may not actually serve people's needs as we continue to evolve our web usage. And that Facebook's model of seeing what your friends are doing and what they care about is something that may actually be more valuable and more useful for people over time. Some of the stats that they used to illustrate that was saying that sites like Perez Hilton, some other social news services, that they actually are getting more traffic from Facebook now than they are from Google, which indicates that people sharing those links and sharing those stories and videos are, that's the way people are actually finding out about it and not finding out about it through Google or Google News. And so Facebook is definitely taking the approach that sharing your personal information is going to be very valuable. And so what they've done is put up massive walls around this content. They don't let the search engines crawl it. They don't let Google crawl it. They don't let Bing crawl it. They don't let Yahoo crawl it. They treat this data... When I post a video, when I post a status update, photos, those are walled off inside Facebook. And from the beginning, they've taken the approach that Google is their main competitor, not MySpace, not Friendster, not FriendFeed, not Twitter, but Google. And that was sort of a very interesting approach and sort of thought that Wired has sort of positioned. And it sort of ties in with some really breaking news from yesterday that Facebook is now... in testing of having public status messages. And so if you want, you can post a message and everyone could see it. And so that has really big implications. If they don't let Google index it, this may be the start of a really, really cool social search that is just inside Facebook.
Okay, so picture this. So the article is much deeper than that too, right? It talked about the mass amount of data that
exactly
Facebook has, plus the insurmountable debt they have too, right? Compared to Google, who made billions, what was it? $4 billion on their net income. Yet Facebook went through its ad revenue plus some more.
They were estimating that Facebook went through about $300+ million last year. So they went through everything and they're in a deficit. So they are definitely not profitable while Google is extremely profitable.
Yes. Exactly. And look at the big side is, so what they say, how many pieces of data was it? I mean, this number is staggering. 8 billion.
Yeah, 8 billion, I believe it was.
Here it is. 4 billion pieces a month, 8 million videos every month.
Yeah, that's what it was.
4 billion pieces of info, 850 million photos, 8 million videos. They're calling it a second internet. Now, we talked about this before, the sheer amount of volume. I think, what, one or two episodes ago, we covered the amount of volume of stuff that they're putting out there. But imagine if this was all publicly searchable all the time, or they turned on the switch to make it all searchable, creating, and I like the one part that's highlighted in the article, creating a micro community, which I've blogged about, saying my friends are a better search tool for me. But this kind of goes with what you have with Callow, Caleb, about the simple fact of a referral engine, using your friends as the referral engine, right?
Right, exactly. And that people want curated information and information from people that they trust, and that trust is actually one of the key pieces to having finding useful information online. We tend to trust that Google actually has better results than what search engines of the past did. We knew that they were loading their search results up with keywords and things like that. So when Google came around, they said, we're not going to take paid advertisements to show certain links at the top. We're actually just going to let the web tell us what's popular. And that was a big step forward. But what Facebook is saying, we're going to go a step further and just go straight to the source, that the number one way that people share information in general is through their friends and their family and their network. And so tapping into that is going to be that next step. And I definitely believe that social connections are certainly a much stronger bond. The biggest challenge is finding a diverse enough group of people who can bring you lots of information that you need. And so that's one area where if you only have a couple Facebook friends or just your friends from college, you may not get all the information you need. And so that will be something that Facebook will have to deal with, and how do they incorporate the public information into surfacing things. But trends are certainly a really good way to do that, which we've seen with Twitter.
Well, now, there's something you said in there that I'm going to ask Jeff, but you said that's how they share information with their friends, or do you think it's more that's how you consume information that's from the friends? So meaning, Jeff, and, you know, I'll ask you in a second, but you guys share tons of stuff, but I'm consuming it because you're a friend. I'm not sharing it because of who you guys are. I'm sharing it because that's just what I do, is dump data. So Jeff, where do you dump your data to Facebook directly, or you use all the other services first?
For like a lot of my links and stuff, I don't put a lot on Facebook. I've started to put more on there because I'm seeing more of my, you know, friends and are using Facebook more now. But for the most part, I mean, I still use, you know, Twitter and Google Reader and stuff to dump the information I find.
Right.
But it's definitely, I saw here, I was kind of going through the article, and I saw where Facebook is kind of encouraging people to use Microsoft Search instead of Google. And then, you know, it's talking about how, you know, if you're looking for something about what someone thought about the Battlestar Galactica finale, you know, you're probably going to be interested in maybe your friends who you know who are into Battlestar Galactica more than just going to somebody's blog who you have no idea who it is. So definitely having that, you know, search inside of Facebook, that's definitely an advantage for, you know, somebody, especially people who aren't quite as, you know, tech savvy as we are, you know, just looking for who they know, what they think about a certain subject. So it definitely, they could have an upper hand there where, you know, people are wanting, you know, like you said earlier, the trusted searches and stuff like that.
Right. And that's, I look to you guys for a lot of that information of, you know, data and links. Do you think that this would be overwhelming to the public side if they opened it up and kind of, I mean, that would affect Google searches too, right? If everyone opened up these updates and status and referrals and links to the world from Facebook with the number of users they have, they say they want to be their own internet basically, right? Inside this article.
Oh, they certainly see themselves as the center of this a resource for all this information. The moves they've taken with the OpenStream and Facebook Connect indicate that they really don't care that you're on their website, Facebook.com, but they care that you're using Facebook. And, you know, some of the other aspects that they're doing with the social games and being able to have the pay on Facebook, they're testing that with certain developers, so it's the microtransactions. But you can see how that could easily apply and extend to be something bigger than PayPal may have even been. Because just being able to send your friends money and know that it's actually going to be getting to them and that they're already online would be a very powerful way for Facebook to make money. And so they certainly have lots of options open to them, to the point of too much information. I think you can see early steps of Facebook being aware of that with those friend lists that they've been trying to push more and more, and how they've even auto-populated friends lists. I remember I logged in a couple weeks ago, and they had a list for high school friends and middle school friends that I didn't create, but they just had them in my sidebar. And so I think they're aware that information overload is definitely a concern for people, but by being able to filter by certain groups, family, friends, extended friends, colleagues, that really might be enough for most people to sort of sift through that information.
No, it's becoming hugely unmanageable. They're saying in the article over 10,000 partner sites are using Facebook Connect now, including location services like Brightkite, which I know I use, and they'll let you log in as your Facebook and connect it up. They're saying City Search does it, of course. Now CNN allows you to comment. So you also lose that anonymity, right? You're not able to go on the net and post a comment anymore if they let you use Facebook Connect, because now you're assigning your identity as well as your personal profile or business, however you do your Facebook side, to whatever you post online. So you actually are kind of gluing everything together. You're opening yourself up to be an open book in terms of where you surf, where you post comments, how they find you, everything else, if they start using this Facebook Connect to do it. So you guys reach that point where your online identity becomes very not even transparent. It becomes very apparent to me, meaning I'll know exactly where you go, where you're sitting at, who you talk to, who your friends are, what sites you visit. You know, do you ever comment? Forget Discus. You're talking 200 million users, right?
Yeah. One thing I was going to say was, not to get off the subject of the whole open statuses and stuff like that, but did you see that Facebook just announced that you can embed the your stream in like a website, like they did with the presidential election, where if you kind of watch everyone's reactions to the presidential election, you can do that now on a website, which I think, you know, just makes it even, you know, Facebook even more powerful. If I can take a widget and put it on my site that kind of is associated with my Facebook as well.
How does it sort? Is it by tag or topic, or is it everything?
I'm not really sure, you know, the specifics, but I saw the story where it lets you, you know, put like a widget over there on the, and I can't remember how they did it in the election, how they, you know, I think you just went to, you could go to Facebook, type it in, and it would show up on the site. I'm not really sure, but it just seems like Facebook's really coming out with a lot of ideas where they're, you know, they're grabbing more and more traffic and more people out there. I know myself, I mean, a couple months ago, I probably wasn't on Facebook that much at all. I was just kind of throwing my information in there and, you know, throwing my Twitter messages and stuff like that. But now it's like I find myself going there daily now, because more and more people who I know outside of the tech world are on there. And then also all the people like you guys and Lewis Gray and Wayne and everyone are on Facebook too, where I can communicate with them there. And it just puts everything in one spot. I think there's been the rumors of Facebook buying Twitter. I mean, what if they bought Twitter? I mean, just think where that would put Facebook.
Well, you know, talk about the public statuses then. Are you guys going to use their public status message stream that they're going to have? Are you going to stick with Twitter and feed it into Facebook? What are you guys going to do?
Well, I'm personally, I still pump my Twitter stream into Facebook, and that's worked out pretty well. But I will probably see, one of the issues is that the public stream information, the default will default to your general profile. So if you only share information with friends and friends of friends, when they turn this beta feature on publicly, it will default to that. So the majority of users on Facebook will not have their stream public by default. So I don't think this is a pure threat to Twitter, in the sense that all this information will be there and anyone could search for it. However, it certainly does show that they are continuing to focus on the status updates and that post box as a key element to Facebook. But I don't. I don't think I will start changing my profile to completely public, because I do have information on there that I don't necessarily want everyone to have, like my cell phone number, some more personal information, information about who some of my other friends are who I may not want to have to expose them. And so I think what's special about Facebook is that it's sort of the one place where most people have their true identity, their real name, they have their real email address. Lots and lots of people have their actual cell phone. And that's the special value that Facebook was able to get by starting with the colleges and making it really small and private and expanding up. And I think that's sort of the biggest thing that Facebook has to manage, is making sure that people stay true people, because that's the data that they really care about. They want people being honest and communicating with their real friends, because the end goal for Facebook, and this was sort of the big piece for the Wired article, was that they see the search ads as a great business, and obviously it's very successful for Google, but it's still in the $20 to $30 billion range. But when you compare it to brand advertising in general, not just online, but overall, that market is more like $500 billion.
Right.
And so Facebook wants the big brand advertisers that want the reach. And because Facebook has 200 million active users now and expects to continue to grow, they will have the massive reach. And if Tide or other massive, massive brands, Coca-Cola, want to advertise, Facebook wants them to advertise with them, and it looks as if that's where they're going, and so they need that true information.
It wasn't just the reach, though. If you look and you think about it, they're talking about the massive amounts of data they have on you personally, where Google is more, here's an ad, someone paid for it, they want you to see it. We don't know if you want it or not, but we're hoping it's kind of close to what you were looking for.
Right.
On the other hand, Facebook says, we know all the things about you because we're also hooked into all these partner sites. These are things that you want, you just don't know it.
Yeah.
So let's sell advertising based upon things you need because of the personal data we've consumed. I'm reading a book right now by, I believe it's Devers, about the personal identity, talking about these massive data mines that have everything you buy from shoe size, and they're able to tailor things to you. Same idea. They're able to tailor an ad to you saying, you know, you really don't know that you like those Cheetos yet, but later on you will. And we know it based upon what you bought. So answer this that you guys both saw, hopefully. The guy that's putting out the hacks to be able to pull your profile information even though you close it down. Have you guys seen the articles on this yet? So, because you were talking about private information that you have, like your cell phone, your address. Even with the Facebook security, this guy's now shown two or three different ways using other apps and other ones that even if you mark it as private and others, he's able to pull all your personal profile information out based upon some bad programming on their part. Because of it, he's been shut down. People that have reblogged it, they've shut down their accounts. They're trying to keep it quiet, but it's out there on the net now.
Yeah.
About how to read it. So think about it. You're putting all that out there. Do you guys really put your personal information on the site or no? You said you put your cell. Do you guys put addresses or anything else on there?
No, I don't have anything personal like my phone number or address on Facebook. Basically just personal information as in my web address and my email address. But I thought about it from time to time because I found that really useful in the past. Like I was someplace and I didn't have one of my friend's numbers. Well, I just went to Facebook and found his number. So it's kind of nice, but I don't have that information on there as of yet.
Yeah, I have my phone number and the city, but I don't think they even have the spot for the full address, which is, I think, a good thing. But I think Facebook certainly is aware that privacy has to be one of their main focuses, just as a company like PayPal or eBay had to deal with fraud as a major part of the business that wasn't a fun, sexy part, but was important. Facebook has to ensure that people's privacy is maintained. Otherwise, people will cut back on their usage and feel violated. And that's the last thing Facebook wants. They want people to be sort of blissfully unaware of how much information they're actually sharing and sort of surprised and eventually happy that these ads are actually really targeted. If you think about something like Amazon, where the data they have access to is really what you're browsing around on their site,
right,
and their recommendations can be fantastic. Imagine what you can do with so much more information and being able to provide you really great offers and things like that. There's no reason advertising has to be interruptive. It's just that it currently is. There's lots of privacy concerns around how much information advertisers have access to. But if Facebook can manage that, similar to the way that Google has been able to manage things like ads and Gmail, then they may have a really big shot at that. And that's why they haven't sold. They haven't sold to Yahoo. They didn't take the massive investment from Google. because they saw Google as a massive competitor. I think them taking so much money from Microsoft last year or so, that $250 million, signals that they're not so concerned about Microsoft as a massive competitor. They were willing to take the money and use that to fight Google.
Someone asked a really good question on the end of the article. There's not that many comments, but they bring up a really good one. They said, you know, so Google gets a little bit upset at Facebook, says, no, you're not going to build this massive ability to search and do all this advertising. That's, we own that market. We own, you know, advertising. Do you think they would actually go so far as to lower rankings on Facebook for searching?
No, I don't think so. I think that would get Google into a lot of PR trouble. They've done a pretty good job of abstaining from editorializing the content. And the other piece is that at this point, I don't think Facebook is really relying much on Google. The very little information that they do, like Google Index, are those small profile snippets. But if I'm looking for someone, I go straight to Facebook and search there to find them. I don't really search in Google to try and find them.
So you think Google Profiles was a waste of an attempt then?
Oh, yeah. I don't think that Google's social networking efforts to date have really amounted to anything substantial, and probably won't, mainly because that's not the interaction that people have expected from Google. They think of it as a utility, and I think that is going to be a really hard thing for Google to change, and they really should try and figure out how they can utilize the data that they do have, that head start they do have on all the data they've been collecting for those extra 6 or 7 years or so, to figure out how to do the brand advertising. But Facebook definitely has a leg up on the social aspect.
Well, Jeff, you spread the wealth a little bit, meaning you put your content all over the place. You know, Facebook is, they say, the walled garden. You know, put it in, don't get it out, can't export. You put your content everywhere. Do you ever fear on any of the sites you use not being able to export or get your content at any time? Because you're using video services, you're using like 12 seconds, Vidlers, you're using, you know, Twitters, you're using all these. Do you ever fear losing some of your content?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely something that would suck if it happened, but
it would just suck. You're right.
The only thing I could see, one thing I was thinking while you guys were talking about Google and Facebook kind of retaliating against each other, what about with YouTube being so big for videos, would Google say, okay, well, if you're not going to let us in, we'll just make it where you can't put YouTube videos on Facebook, which would be something that would, you know, I think would put a wrench in everything, unless Facebook came up with their own, alternative to YouTube, which I guess they could probably do, since that story was saying, you know, they have like 8 million videos that get served on Facebook. You know, could you maybe see some wars where, you know, Google's going to say, okay, well, we're not going to allow that content on your servers because you're not letting us in.
Could you see it? They block the embed codes just for Facebook. That would get down to the nitty gritty. I think Caleb's right. That would limit themselves exposure, right? By saying, no, you can't use this anymore. And Facebook doesn't really have a native good, even though they can store the data, they don't have a good serving way for videos. You know, they're not a video serving and editing and, you know, type of organization. That's not what they do. They're there just to collect your data. Videos are just unsearchable content besides tags, right? You can't search what's inside the video. If we didn't tag something or just labeled it 1279.movie, they would never know what that video contains. So to them, it's just bandwidth and flexibility, hoping that you put comments and tags around it so they can add around it. There's nothing they can do with the insides of it, right?
The good thing about video, and I think no one has figured this out yet, but it's obviously why Google is still so excited about YouTube, is that people will spend a lot of time on the site watching a video. That reading a status update only takes a couple seconds. Looking at a photo can only take a couple seconds. You obviously look at a lot at a time. But watching a video, you might be sitting there for a couple minutes watching a video. And if you've got those brand ads running beside it, that's really valuable time. One of the things they pointed out in the article as well was that the average time on Facebook is 20 minutes. And that's 20 minutes a day. So obviously there are users that are spending hours and hours a day to pull that average up. But 20 minutes is a massive amount of time to be spending on one service every day for their 200 million active users a month. It's one of the sites with the most time and attention spent on the internet. And so they've got a lot of attention. I wouldn't be surprised. We saw this week that YouTube released a stat that mobile uploads increased 400% as a result of the iPhone 3GS and over 1,000% over the past 6 months just in due to all the smartphones having this capability. I wouldn't be surprised if the Facebook app on the iPhone soon lets you upload videos as well. Okay. Because there's no reason they don't want that data in their system rather than having to send that person possibly back to YouTube to watch it. I would think that would be coming soon.
Yeah, they don't want you going anywhere else. And that's one of the points of the article is they don't want you to be able to maneuver or go anywhere. They want you totally living inside of their application. And anything over a couple minutes you spend on any internet site nowadays is time that they want.
Yep.
That's time advertisers want. You know, Twitter's missing out for the amount of time people spend. If you accumulate all the time you spend not only sending the tweet but reading other tweets with nothing on the sides, no ads, no content, they're missing a huge amount of the daily internet users' time. You know, Jeff, you probably see ads all day. I see them all day. Caleb sees them. But what do? We skip them. You know,
yep.
You're unique in yours because Caleb says, I'm going to tell you about a product and I hope you click my link to buy it. Right? Basically,
yep.
I've invested my time to review it, to look at it, to summarize it. Hopefully you just click my link. That way they know that I sent you there and I may get some credit. But otherwise, what do you guys do? Do you ignore all the ads that come through like I do?
Yeah, actually, I have a grease monkey script that basically strips all the ads off.
The advertisers hate you.
Shh, don't tell
them. Don't tell them. Yeah. No, I haven't clicked on an ad in a very, very long time. And you could certainly imagine how Facebook could very easily take the affiliate code and just tack it on to every link that someone sends to a retailer and start collecting money for the links that people are sending around for particular products or songs.
Sure.
That's sort of what they wanted to do with Beacon. It failed miserably because people didn't realize that was happening, and so people would buy wedding gifts and engagement rings was one of the classic stories, and their partner found out about it. But Facebook definitely has lots of ways to make money, and they've been very cautious about trying it. Their strategy has been scale up first, get the network effects going, make the other social networks hurt and die off. MySpace is hurting unbelievably.
It's all junk on MySpace. It's been junk.
It's really bad. They used to have 76% of the time on the internet spent with them. Now they have 11%. So they are really hurting. We've seen the layoffs are happening there. They're in a really tough spot trying to figure out what to do. Facebook keeps plugging along, and Facebook has resisted putting up those big banner ads. MySpace was happy to do it a couple of years ago, and that obviously had an impact on people's experience. And so I think Facebook is willing to wait it out. They have lots of money in the bank. They have lots of people who are willing to give them money, and they really do want to be around for a long time, and I think that's they're going to be trying to build a company that's around for 20, 30, 40 years.
And it's funny.
And you don't need to rush.
No, it's funny you say that about MySpace. Is think about this that just changed and we just went through it again and no one's really brought it up. Is previously, MySpace was the place to be. Artists, bands, groups, people, everyone had to have a MySpace page and all their URLs were MySpace pages, right? Go to MySpace/whatever.
Yep.
And we started talking last week about your social identity and, you know, like Lewis said, oh, they never tell you or Wayne, one of them said, just buy a domain in your name, right? You always got email, but just buy your domain and you have a presence, forward it wherever you want.
Yeah.
Now, last week we went through everyone rushing to get a Facebook identity. So we're back to another place that says, I want to be your identity. And it's giving those non-techie people a place to say, here's me on the web. I'm going to hide some of my information, but share a little bit and use, you know, picture if I start microblogging like the rest of them. So now people are flocking there. Do you think they'll get overrun eventually with junk like MySpace?
I don't think they let you edit your profile as much as MySpace did. Because with MySpace, you know, you could basically pretty much put any kind of coding in there.
Right, any
page, made for those crazy profiles. So I think that was kind of a turnoff for a lot of people with MySpace.
Well, they spent a lot of time and money on them, too. Think about the people that had these big, massive pages developed. Facebook says, here's what you get, add an application, right? There is no UI manipulation in terms of the colors and the backgrounds, the images, and it doesn't exist, right?
Yeah, Facebook certainly has taken the approach that it's not necessarily about the design of the page or anything like that. It's about the person behind it and communicating with them. MySpace was about that self-expression, and that actually turned off a lot of people in terms of browsing around. The person who made the page was super happy with it, but from a wider perspective, looking at 100 different pages that are all totally different, and they're blinking at you, and they're screeching at you, and taking over your sound, it's not a great experience. The other thing that's interesting is that the relationship between users on MySpace was very different. You could add, the goal was to add thousands and thousands of friends. On Facebook, the goal for most people is to find their real friends, and it's a reciprocal. You have to accept someone as your friend, and that makes that relationship a lot tighter, and it makes it easier to want to share information. You know, what we feel as sort of these geeks is that we're already getting overwhelmed. We follow too many people on Twitter, we read too many blogs, and that's what happened on MySpace really quickly for lots and lots of users. On Facebook, it's not such a problem because they're not trying to make it a game to get lots and lots of friends, and that sort of helped them make it a little bit more consistent and easier to navigate and more useful. Ultimately, it should be about being very useful, not just some place to hang out.
Right now, it's how I keep up with my teenage daughter when she's not here, because I'm reading everything she posts. You know, it's the only reason I look at Facebook. Come on now.
Have you guys used the SMS option on Facebook yet, where you can get the status updates via SMS message?
I have. I have a couple people that I have the Facebook, the status messages for. I have my brothers and my sister, and I have my parents on there as well. They don't really use it super often, but it's kind of nice to get that status update and just see what they're doing, and it's useful to me, and it's super fast. It's unbelievable. It's faster than the website. It gets to me before it's commented on. And the other one I use it for is when people comment on my status, is I get a little update. And that's kind of cool because I can make sure I have the conversation continuing. And, you know, the other thing is that when I post messages, they'll go to Twitter and then Facebook. I tend to get more feedback from the messages on Facebook themselves than at replies on Twitter. And that's pretty interesting to me, considering I have many, many more Twitter followers than I do friends on Facebook, but they're more engaged and following me more closely on Facebook.
Yeah, and I was going to say, the one thing I really like about the SMS option with Facebook, which I think they did awesome with, was you can reply to the status message, and you can just type like, and it'll like that status message, or you can just hit reply, and it replies and puts that in the reply stream on Facebook. I thought that was pretty slick. I like that part of it.
Yeah. They're doing a really good job, and part of that, too, is we also saw news that there's actually a book coming out about them that doesn't seem to portray Mark Zuckerberg in a very good light. The title of the book is The Accidental Billionaires, The Founding of Facebook, A Tale of Sex, Money, Genius, and Betrayal. That's a mouthful. But it's also being made into a movie. And the screenwriter is actually Aaron Sorkin, who was of The West Wing fame, American Presidents, and A Few Good Men. So a really, really awesome writer, one of my favorite TV writers at least, is writing the screenplay about the Facebook story, and that'll probably be coming out in a year or two. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out, but they've certainly captured the attention of a much wider audience, and unlike many other startups have ever done besides Google in recent history.
Let's summarize the long list so we can cover at least one other topic before we get out of here. Overall, from the thing, what I'm reading out of it is, you know, Facebook's going to take over, or attempt to take over, search, profile updates, advertising, data storage, your online presence, profile name, where people go to search for you, and a referral engine all in one. Does that sound about right?
I think that's a lot.
If they start having a Facebook phone plan for cell phones, then we've really breached, you know, the Richard Branson Virgin, you know, type stuff. But I mean, I could see the Facebook credit card coming, where it not only lets you build up some kind of points, but tracks what you purchase to put it onto your profile.
Yep.
I could see that. I could see what else was I thinking? I had one earlier too. Anything that you do that would give more information about either what you buy, where you go, or presence. A Facebook GPS, for gosh sakes, right? Sync yourself right to Facebook. You know, anything silly like that. An application on the phone that generates a location inside of Facebook. Is there an app for that now? Do you guys know?
I've not heard of anything like that, but not say there isn't.
Yeah, they haven't jumped on the location stuff, but the timing of it took them a while to catch on to Twitter, so it's probably going to catch them a while to catch on to Brightkite and Looped, but I think they will probably start doing that once more people have GPS with them all the time.
All right, so what other big news we have? A silly one on the side. I know it's kind of crazy, but I don't know if you guys use it. You guys use Boxy at all, either one of you?
A little bit.
Now, they now have a Windows version?
Yeah, that's pretty crazy. That certainly opens them up to the other 95% of the world, so that's a big market expansion for sure.
Correct. I loaded up. I still need to figure out how some of it works, and I probably need to friend you guys on it, but I loaded it up on the Windows Media server that we have just to add it in there, and it was quite impressive what it did and what it does once you understand it. There's, you know, it's a lot of moving parts at first to get configured. So that was
yeah. Well, one other piece of news on the consumer electronics side was interesting to me was that Vizio, the company that makes sort of the low-tier, cheap LCDs, LCD TVs, actually is releasing a new TV, range of TVs, that have Pandora built in. They have Netflix.
Sony, right? Sony did that first, right? They have an internet TV that plugs right into the net?
Yeah. But so Sony's is $2,000 or $3,000. The Vizios are going to be $1,000 or less. So really making it inexpensive. So you've got Twitter in there as well.
Right.
Facebook statuses and Facebook updates. The remote is a Bluetooth remote with a slide-out QWERTY keyboard. So you can actually type real messages and not have to use, you know, the alphanumeric style stuff. And so these social services are being plugged into TVs. And they'll be coming out in the next month or two, and they're going to be the same price as the baseline TVs. It's not this massive, expensive add-on. It's built right into the mainline TV that they're going to be selling. So these services are going to be massively mainstream, and it's going to be a really, really exciting time for more people getting into these cool services that we've known about for the past year or two, and more people will have access to them. So that's really cool and exciting.
What else did you have, Jeff?
I was thinking, did you see that you can attach files to FriendFeed posts now? Like you can attach, like if you have an MP3 of a song, you can add that to your post. I'm sure the RIAA really loves that, but they added that feature where you could add a file to a post, not just a picture. You know, they've always had where you could add a picture and stuff, but now you can add.
Like, is there a size limit?
I haven't heard of a size limit yet. I mean, they probably can't be too big, but I have not heard of a size.
So we could 60 gig. Let's go. Movie files. Anything you guys want to do? Let's post it. Now, did you see the locally here? I don't know, you guys. It's kind of touches on RIA. Our local radio's saying there's too much file sharing going on. To kind of say what you're doing about uploading to FriendFeed, that they're going to start charging more to the stations to stay in business now. To basically saying people are doing what you said, Jeff, uploading files all over the place and sharing them without any regards for content control or copyright or anything else.
Right. Right.
What other news did we have?
I didn't really have news, but I had an event I went to.
Go for it.
We actually had a Brightkite did. I guess they're having their meetups. They're calling them Kite-ups. And we had one of the first ones here in Kansas City last week. And it was pretty cool. We had about, I'd say we had about 50 Brightkiters show up. From what I understand, I guess Kansas City has like the largest per capita amount of Brightkite users of any city. So I thought that was kind of cool, but it was a good time, and we had a representative from Brightkite came and got to hang out and do all the stuff you do at meetups.
Wasn't Martin, was it, from Brightkite?
No, it wasn't Martin. I can't even remember what her... It was a female. I can't remember what her name was now.
Did we lose Caleb again?
Must have.
Hang on. While you do that, let me grab him again. Hold on. That's weird. That's bizarre. Caleb said, the heck with both of you. It says call refused. I don't know what happened to his thing, so we'll keep going. So how did it turn out while we wait for Caleb to get back? How did it turn out?
It was pretty good. We had, I think there was about 45, 50 people there. And it was at a bar downtown in Kansas City, and we all just hung out and drank and put stuff up on the Brightkite wall. They had a flat screen set up where they had a Brightkite wall set up where everyone could, you know, post messages and post pictures and stuff like that.
Oh, yeah. Done it. The wall thing, we used that down at one of the Lotusphere events. It was awesome the way it turned out. It worked great. We were able to check in. It was amazing. Really, really enjoyed it.
Yeah, it's fun.
Really enjoyed it. There we go. Caleb said, give him a ring. Let's try it. So the deal is that Caleb, we can't hear him, but he can hear us.
Oh, wow. That's pretty interesting.
I told him silence is golden.
Hello?
You there?
Can you hear me?
I can hear you, and we got everybody back.
All right. Don't know what happened.
But. I told you when I think maybe Skype went down. Maybe that's what it was. It blew us all off besides Jeff on the cell phone this time. So
okay.
He's not on his netbook tonight. He's on his cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, how is the netbook, Jeff?
Oh, it's great. It's great.
Nice.
Okay. He's summarized.
A man of many words. It's great.
He summarizes so well. That's nice. Okay, great. I'm on my phone. Leave me alone. All right.
Hey, did I tell you that I'm doing movie reviews now on my website?
We saw that. I didn't want to read the one on Transformers, so I was scared you'd give something away.
Oh, no, I don't do any of the spoiler stuff. I try to keep any surprises or anything out of my reviews. Yeah, I got hooked up with an ad agency here in Kansas City, and they hooked me up where I get to go to all the previews, and I just talk about it on my website.
Oh, that's awesome.
Very nice.
That's
did they
really
get free popcorn?
Cool.
No, I got to buy the popcorn.
So with all the journalists and things?
It's a mixture of, like, people. There's some TV personalities there, and then there's also, like, the radio stations. They give out tickets and stuff to screening. So it's kind of a mixed crowd.
Interesting opportunity to meet people, though. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. I enjoy it. And me and my wife, Allison, I've got her doing them with me. So we kind of, you know, play off of each other and everything. So it's really good.
Very nice.
Boy, it's, I tell you, you know, some crap. But, Jeff, you know what I'm doing on the other part. I just can't talk about it, right? I told you about that last time. I just can't even talk about it. I'm stuck for like 2 months. I can't say nothing.
Wow.
Well, yeah, life is life. So, all right, guys, anything else big news? We'll just edit out the middle part and call it a day. We did a great summary on the Facebook stuff.
Yeah, hopefully people like that and don't tune out.
No, they should.
Like Facebook.
They love Facebook. So we'll say the end of 17. Okay, so missing in action. Lewis had plans. Wayne had plans. Sarah, we know, is sometimes under the weather. Corvita, we don't know. She's MIA, but you know what? She'll probably ping us later going, are we recording? We'll figure out what that is. Otherwise, that's episode 17. Anything big coming up? Conferences for either one of you otherwise? No? Yes?
Nope.
I can't say anything. I think we might be having a bar camp coming up in Kansas City soon.
Okay, cool. Well, probably the next time we get on, Caleb will have started another company by then. And
hopefully.
Something new to talk about. Otherwise, everybody, that is episode 17 of the Social Geeks. One more down for the end of June.